Hello and welcome to the Three Inning Save podcast. We are a part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Eric Steven, and with me as always, or not for this, but in most episodes, is Jacob Birch.
I will say, I'll have you know, sometimes you just
I sometimes do
your ego takes like, over, and you're like, no, I'm tired of
sharing the microphone over here.
But we're here a lot of the time, so
Yeah. For our regular episode, it's me and you, but sometimes I do a little one-off. But Brian Salvatore, no matter how many of us speak into the microphone, he always makes us sound as good as possible. But today we have a Dodgers rewind for you today.
Today we have one today. All right, just making sure it's today. Okay.
We're sponsored by the Today Show on NBC. We got a new sponsorship finally.
That would be great.
Hoda Kotb is going to be our guest next week. We're going to talk. Anyway. We're looking back at a wonderfully mustachioed reliever for the Dodgers in 1983 and 1984, Pat Zachary. The circumstances aren't the best for this, but he came under the radar because he just died this last week. He was 71. He was at his home in Waco. I have not seen exact, you know, cause of death. It just says he was dealing with a long illness. But Zachary is notable for many reasons, but, you know, he pitched for the Dodgers. That's why we're looking back on him. But he won NL Rookie of the Year with the Reds in 1976. And not sure if you're familiar with the Reds in 1976, but that year and the year before, they're kind of known for being a very good team. The Big Red Machine, some have called them. And Zachary was a rookie. He won 14 games in 204 innings with a 2.74 ERA. He won both of his postseason starts that year, Game 2 of the NLCS against the Pirates, and then Game 3 of the World Series at Yankee Stadium. The Reds, in 75, they won 108 games. They beat the Red Sox in 7 games in the World Series, a classic. And then in 76, in the playoffs, they were undefeated. They swept the NLCS 3-0. They swept the World Series 4-0. They were a juggernaut team for a few years there. And Zachary did very well. He also made an all-star team with the Mets in 1978, and he died just last Thursday, April 4th. So my trivia for you regarding Pat Zachary, so he had a hell of a rookie year. Not only did he win those two playoff games, but he's also just one of only three pitchers to win Rookie of the Year and win a World Series in the same year. Who were the other two?
All right.
I will say this question was inspired by David Skelton, who wrote Pat Zachary's Sabre bio some years ago. At the time he wrote it, this was through 2012, but I looked through all the lists. That list still holds. There's still just the three total. But let's talk about how Zachary came to the Dodgers. It's weird saying Zachary because it sounds like a first name, but it's his last name. So he's traded by the Mets to the Dodgers end of December 1982 for veteran outfielder Jorge Horta. Mets GM Frank Cashin at the time from the UPI story on the trade said, quote, Pat asked us about the possibility of trading his contract and we tried to oblige him. We made a commitment to go with our young pitchers in 1983 and in the future. And honestly, Pat didn't fit into our plans. Like that last part seemed a little harsh, but like I think he was just, you know, just saying like it was. So, funnily enough, even though the Mets were going with their young pitchers, they also brought back franchise icon Tom Seaver in 1983. So when Seaver was traded by the Mets because of a contract dispute in June 1977, Zachary was one of the four players the Mets sent in the deal. So Doug Flynn, Steve Henderson, and Dan Norman were the others in the trade. They were not pitchers. Pat Zachary was. In an interview in March of 83, when he was with the Dodgers in spring training, Zachary told the Associated Press, quote, I'm sure I put a lot of pressure on myself. I was the pitcher involved in the deal. I was expected to do some things. Tom Seaver was a legend, one of the best pitchers ever. That's tough. Jay Horowitz of the Mets, longtime PR man for like decades, he talked to Doug Flynn, one of the others in the trade, about Zachary after Zachary passed. And Flynn said, quote, We knew we could never replace Tom. We just stuck together. You couldn't find a better teammate than Zach. So, Zachary did, with the Mets, did make his lone All-Star team. So, like, it's not like he was a bust or whatever. He did not pitch in the All-Star game that year, though, in San Diego. The LA Times story on the trade to the Dodgers noted Zachary's recent injuries heading into 1983 and included his previous injuries, elbow, shoulder problems, plus a broken foot. Al Campanis, the Dodgers GM at the time, told the LA Times, quote, he will be a candidate for a starting job, especially if Tommy decides to go to a five-man rotation. It's always funny to think about that, like, now, like, that was it, you know, like, because we're like,
everything, we do this novelty.
like, if you go in, like, the True Blue Light comments now or something, it's like, you can't go, like, a couple hours without someone, like, well, maybe the Dodgers go to a six-man rotation or whatever. Like, it's like, you know, we're at that level now.
Right.
Obviously, it was different 40 years ago. But the Dodgers did sort of use a four-man rotation in April. But starting in May, they went to a five-man pretty much for the rest of the year. But that fifth pitcher was Alejandro Pena, who pitched a lot in relief later on for the Dodgers. But he got the bulk of the work that year. Coincidentally enough, Alejandro Pena won the National League ERA title in 1984. The Dodgers in 1983 did trade for Rick Honeycutt in August. Rick Honeycutt won the ERA title in the American League in 1983. So anyway, Zachary, with his 2 years in the Dodgers, pitched 98 games, only one start. So he was almost purely reliever. I looked this up, but Campanis also in that trade story said, quote, I think he beat us five times 1 year, and that's reason enough to make the deal. Now, it was 7 years earlier. It was his rookie year of 76, and Zachary was 5-1 with a 1.54 ERA against them, 46 and two-thirds innings and six starts, so almost eight innings a start. So I get it, right? Like, but from 77 to 82, Zachary was 2-6 with a 5.74 ERA, and that wasn't fresh in Campanis's mind. So Zachary pitched, like, sparingly the first 2 months of 83, but he was pretty rock solid the rest of the way. He only allowed two runs in 11 innings in June. His only start came at the end of August. It was the second game of a doubleheader against his old team, the Mets, in New York. And so he pitched six scoreless innings, got the win. That capped a run of 19 straight scoreless innings for Zachary, including no runs at all allowed in August. In the UPI game story, I really enjoyed this. Tommy Lasorda praised Zachary's attitude. He said, quote, what Zachary lacks in stuff, his bulldog pulls him through. Keep in mind, this was 2 days before Oral Hershiser was called up and made his major league debut. And it wasn't until 1984 when Lasorda had the famous Sermon on the Mound with Hershiser, sort of challenging him and essentially bestowing the bulldog nickname on him. And it's called that even though I think it happened in Lasorda's office, but it's a great name, Sermon on the Mound. But so, it, you know, Lasorda had a lot of, like, things where he would say things often, you know. I do wonder, like, how long was Tommy Lasorda using bulldog before?
I was about, like, to say, Tommy Lasorda strikes me as a man who is not afraid to bestow similar nicknames and metaphors on multiple people.
I forgot. There's some video. I don't remember if it was one of those old videos from, like, the 80s or 90s, but it's like a lot of his former players, like, he had this one quote, like, if everybody's pulling on the same side of the rope in the same direction, you know, it's just like this long motivational thing, but he said it, like, all the time. So, like, everybody knew it word by word. It was really funny. So, like, it was sort of that sort of thing, but I just thought that was funny that Pat Zachary, bulldog before bulldog in this case. So he finished 83 with a 2.49 ERA in 61 and a third innings. That was his best ERA for any season in his career. Keep in mind, a lot of those years were as starters, so it's not apples to apples. But he did pitch in two games in the NLCS that year against Phillies, two innings each. He allowed a total one run. However, the Dodgers lost both games. That heavily favored Dodgers that series. They won 11 out of 12 games against the Phillies in the regular season, but they lost the series in four games. Zachary, again, just allowed those one run and four innings pitch. He had a 2.74 career ERA in the postseason, 15 and two-thirds innings, and he won those two starts in 1976. In 1984, Zachary pitched even more. He led the team in relief innings, 82 and two-thirds, and games pitched, 58. He put up a 381 ERA on a so-so team. That team only won 79 games that year. The way I worded this was, it seems mean, but it's not. He had the kind of a year a pitcher could have back then, 51 walks and 55 strikeouts in those 82 and two-thirds innings. But in fairness to him, 13 of those walks were intentional. So it's not like, you know, he wasn't exactly like, you know, throwing garbage up there or whatever. But he did save two games for the Dodgers in 1984, Pat Zachary did, the last of which was four innings, September 17th in Atlanta. Yeah. To finish off a 9-0 shutout. And I think that's as good a time as any. Now, mind you, it wasn't a 3-inning save, but it's close enough. And that's good enough for us to go to break. And we'll have more Pat Zachary after this. So Pat Zachary was born in Richmond, Texas. He played his high school ball in Waco. The Dodgers 1984 media guide mentions that Zachary was a three sports star playing football and basketball. His 85 Topps card mentions he threw three no-hitters in high school. Zachary was living in Waco when he was with the Dodgers, and he lived in Waco up until his death. The Reds drafted him out of high school in the 19th round in 1970. Also that year, the Reds drafted Ray Knight in the 10th round. He had a long career as well. Before his first full season in 1971 in Class A Tampa, Zachary received notice of potential draft into the Army, which almost certainly meant going to Vietnam. From his Sabre bio, Zachary Sabre bio, written by David Skelton, quote, due to a severe severe injury sustained to his right ankle and lower leg region as a youngster, Zachary actually flunked the Army's physical examination, which allowed him to continue his baseball pursuits uninterrupted. So, Zachary had a pretty good year at AAA at age 22 in 1974. It was a 3.51 ERA. But the Reds were stacked. I mentioned before, they won 108 games that year. And so they didn't really have room for Zachary in 75. So he repeated AAA. He had a 2.43 ERA for Indianapolis that year. So he made the team in 1976. He only started one game in the first month or so. He pitched mostly in relief. He joined the rotation in May 9th and mostly stayed there for the rest of the year. He had the 2.74 ERA, as I mentioned. He won 14 games, 6 complete games, and a shutout. He actually tied for NL Rookie of the Year with Padres reliever Butch Metzger. So Metzger had 16 saves, a 2.92 ERA in 123 innings. It's funny to look back at that. Like, that was like a normal like fireman reliever workload back then, was like that many innings. Like, you know, Baseball Reference WAR was favored Zachary heavily, 3.5 to 1.4. The Rookie of the Year ballot at this time was only one spot, so it wasn't like first, second, and third like now. Zachary and Metzger each got 11 votes. The other two votes went to Cardinals utility man Hector Cruz, who hit 228, 286, 338 with a 71 OPS plus. But again, nobody knew what OPS plus was at the time. So with that Rookie of the Year in tow and the Reds winning the World Series, it brings us back to the trivia question. Who were the other two pitchers to win Rookie of the Year and the World Series in the same year?
Dontrell Willis?
Yep, 2003 with the Marlins.
And Doc Ellis?
No.
It's like different...
Do you want a hint yet?
Sure.
The other pitcher has a stronger Dodgers connection than Dontrell.
Don Newcomb?
Current broadcaster.
Oh.
No, because Newcomb did win Rookie of the Year in 49, but they lost the World Series.
Fernando.
1981. Not Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, and World Series.
Yep. For some reason, the World Series thing dropped out of my head, but I got there.
No,
got there.
Yeah. And you got Dontrell like out of the gate. Yep. You did well. So Zachary made his lone All-Star team with the Mets in 78. He had 10 wins before the break, 3.33 ERA on July 24th when he was facing his old team, the Reds. It's a 2-2 game in the seventh, and with one out, Zachary allowed two hits and a walk to load the bases. Pete Rose had a single there and extended his hitting streak to 37 games, which tied the National League record previously held by Tommy Holmes of the Braves in 1945. Rose, his streak would last another week at up to 44 games. It's the longest streak since DiMaggio, and nobody's had a streak that long since. Looking back, like old This Week in Baseball clips, but also, like, they were breaking into, like, network TV for, like, when Pete Rose was batting. Like, it was a big deal, like, at that time, that hitting streak. I remember I've seen some, like, old YouTube videos of it. It's pretty crazy. But so in this game, bases loaded, 2-2 in the seventh. Zachary allowed a go-ahead single to George Foster, and then he was pulled from the game by manager Joe Torre. I think this is 78, so I think it's Torre's second year managing. But from Zachary's Sabre bio, Torre summoned reliever Kevin Koble from the bullpen, and a disgusted Zachary left the mound. When Zachary reached the Mets dugout, he kicked a batting helmet angrily and missed, catching a spike on the wooden steps, causing a hairline fracture in his foot. Zachary was out for the season, and he later said the Mets wanted to fine him $20,000. In 2020, Zachary told the New York Post, "The one thing I regretted was kicking the helmet and breaking my foot. That was my own damn fault. It led to some other things that took away from my performance that shouldn't have." So injuries were a problem for Zachary in his years with the Mets. From his Sabre bio and then looking at the Dodgers media guide in 1984. 79, he strained an ulnar nerve in his elbow. Ended up needing surgery on that in August. It wasn't Tommy John. It was like just a surgery on his elbow. While on rehab for that, though, he tore his Achilles while running. And so, or at least strained it like heavily. And then he also, with the Reds, had a hernia operation after his rookie season. He had elbow soreness in the spring of 77, and he missed the first month of 1981 with the Mets with a, quote, sore arm. So even with all that, Zachary was still around league average with the Mets, a 99 ERA plus, 363 ERA in 741 innings. Those Mets teams were bad, though. And, like, Zachary, in all the, like, trade stories going to the Dodgers, it was basically how happy he was going to a winning team. So before the 81 season, Zachary avoided arbitration in his final year before free agency by signing a five-year deal worth $2 million total, which at the time was a huge deal. And we mentioned, you know, previously Frank Cash and the GM of the Mets saying we were able to move or trade Zachary's contract. So I was looking this up. Baseball Reference doesn't have all the salaries for the 82 Mets, but the only two players on the team listed as making more than $400,000, which was the average of his contract, I don't know the exact payout, were George Foster and pitcher Craig Swan. So it was like that was a pretty big number back then.
Mm-hmm.
But after his 2 years with the Dodgers, Zachary still had 1 year left on that contract. They traded him to the Phillies for Al Oliver. Al Oliver was 38 when he joined the Dodgers. Excellent hitter in his career. Entering 85, Al Oliver had 16 straight years of at least 100 OPS plus, and he hit at least 300 in the previous 9 years, including a batting title with the 82 Expos. But as a 38-year-old in 1985, he was pretty much done. That was his last year. The Dodgers ended up trading Oliver to the Blue Jays in July for outfielder Len Matuszak. Coincidentally, Jorge Horta, who was acquired by the Mets for Zachary in December 1982, was also soon traded to Toronto. They did it before the 83 season in February, so it was a busy time. Toronto just all over these moves. So Zachary only pitched 10 games for the Phillies that year. He had a 4.26 ERA, more walks than strikeouts, 11-8 there. He did not pitch in the majors again, even though he was just 33. Keep in mind, this was also peak collusion in the sport from like 86 to 88, when several veterans were basically just ignored. And so Zachary, he was, within a few years, he was a pitching coach in the Dodgers minors for, I think it was just the 2 years. It was Vero Beach in 87 and San Antonio in 1988. And both years he had Ramon Martinez. So like that's a nice little feather in his cap. He had like a low 2 ERA and like 39 starts, you know, with Zachary as his pitching coach. Now, obviously, not saying Zachary's responsible for Ramon Martinez, but he certainly helped. And so I always liked that, too, when, like, you know, there's a connection. It's just more of a connection to like the future and then, you know, mm-hmm, in the past and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's Pat Zachary, 2 years with the Dodgers and then, but all, you know, kind of left his mark. So what do you think?
I love, especially these 90s or 80s, just like, yeah. I can have a spinning chance of knowing a name of someone that, you know, I couldn't have watched him, but he could have played with someone that I watched with. So, and certainly a name I hadn't heard of until, you know, unfortunately he passed away.
I will say too, 83, 84 were like the blind spots for me. I didn't really start watching baseball in full till 85. I remember watching the 84 World Series, but I don't remember watching any of that season. But then I started collecting baseball cards in 85 too. And then I, in quote unquote, inherited, aka found a shoebox of my brother's old cards. And they were from like 1974 to 1980. So like that 81 to 84 window, I was kind of in the dark in, you know, in terms of piecing stuff together until like later. So I didn't really know much about Zachary at the time. So it's all, like I say, I always love doing these, like looking back at someone I know hardly anything about, because that's the fun of it, is like finding out. So yeah. Yeah, well, I hope you enjoyed it. That was Pat Zachary. That was a Dodgers Rewind for you. This is the 3-Inning Save podcast. We are a part of the Fans First Sports Network, and we will be back with our regular episode in a few days. Thanks for listening, everyone.